Roland pointed at the atom symbol on them and shook his head. He did not want them shooting off weapons that would release potentially lethal radiation, no matter how powerful they might be. He was willing to kill the breakers if that was what it took to stop their meddling with the beam, but only as a last resort. Flanking a metal tray filled with gas masks, to Jake they looked gruesome, like the severed heads of strange bugs, were two crates of handguns, snub-nosed machine pistols with the word Coyote embossed on the butts, and heavy automatics called Cobra Stars. Jake was attracted to both weapons. In truth, his heart was attracted to all the weapons, but he took one of the stars because it looked a little bit like the gun he had lost. The clip fed up the handle and held either 15 or 16 shots. This was not a matter of counting, but only of looking and knowing. "Hey," Susanna said. She'd gone back toward the front of the cave. "Come look at this. Sneetches." "Check out the crate lid," Jake said when they joined her. Susanna had set it aside. Jake picked it up and was studying it with admiration. It showed the face of a smiling boy with a lightning bolt scar on his forehead. He was wearing round glasses and brandishing what appeared to be a magician's wand at a floating sneetch. The words stenciled beneath the drawing read, "Property, 449th Squadron, 24 Sneetches. Harry Potter model. Serial number 465-17-CC, NDJKR. Don't mess with the 449. We'll kick the Slytherin out of you." There were 24 Sneetches in the crate, packed like eggs in little nests of plastic Excelsior. None of Roland's band had had the opportunity to study live ones closely during their battle with the wolves, but now they had a good swatch of time during which they could indulge their most natural interests and curiosities. Each took up a sneetch. They were about the size of tennis balls, but a great deal heavier. Their surfaces had been gridded, making them resemble globes marked with lines of latitude and longitude.